Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the South Bay Show, South Bay Spotlight, on May 26, 2016. Live, love, laugh, and leave a legacy. That's what we do here in the South Bay of Los Angeles, and it's a beautiful place to do just that.
The South Bay Show is brought to you by the Academy of Foreign Languages. If you have any interest in learning a new language or brushing up on existing language skills, you should know about the Academy of Foreign Languages. Located in Palos Verdes, the Academy of Foreign Languages specializes in the art of communication. Their mission is to provide the finest language instruction possible. They recognize that each student has distinctive needs and craft their teaching technique to optimize an individual's particular learning skills. At the Academy of Foreign Languages, they strive to create a comfortable environment conducive to learning. So whether you're learning a new language or would simply like to converse in your native tongue, the Academy of Foreign Languages can accommodate you. For additional information, visit their website at academyofforeignlanguages.com, that's all spelled out, or call 310-975-4133.
I'm your host, Joe Terry, and you can read all about our many adventures on Facebook at facebook.com/The South Bay Show. Persistence, passion, principle, and purpose. That's what we talk about here on The South Bay Show. And of course, I'm not alone because of our great partnership with SouthBayByJackie.com and producer of The South Bay Show, Jackie Balestra. Hey, Jackie, are you okay?
I'm okay.
but you went to a Who concert.
I did. Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
No. Yeah, we went to see The Who at Staples last night.
Yes.
Yeah, and it was fantastic. It was a great show. I mean, the sound quality was amazing. The production, you know, the video and the lights and all that stuff was amazing. It looked like a sold out house.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you, Pete and Roger look really good.
Mm-hmm.
JP told me that Pete Townsend is 72 years old.
Yeah,
which is amazing. I mean, he was playing like a 19-year-old.
Yeah,
I mean, he has not slowed down at all. if anything, he's gotten better with age. You know, and neither of them look like they've been down the hard road. You know, they both look good. They both look fit. They look healthy.
Yeah.
And they were really on top of their game. Roger Daltrey sounded amazing. Okay, is sounded a word?
I think so.
Because it just doesn't sound like good English when you say that sounded.
But there's the regular people and then the upper crust. So the upper crust would say the sound was amazing. They wouldn't have said it sounded amazing.
Okay, well, Roger Daltrey's voice sounded, I don't know how else to say that. he sounded amazing. You know,
yeah.
I remember a couple of decades ago, he lost his voice.
Right.
I mean, he had no voice, and they didn't tour for a long time. And he sounded so good that I was like, what happened? So when I came home, I actually had to look it up online to see, like, if he had throat surgery or what he did to get his voice back. But he sounded strong.
Yeah.
I looked it up. Yeah. Well, he had surgery years ago. He's had a couple of issues, but I think the most recently, 2010, he was working with a voice specialist.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess they do some sort of – now with lasers and stuff, they can really work on your vocal cords. They can even – regrow your vocal cords, you know, what they're doing now. They can recreate them and stuff. So his voice was very strong.
Hmm.
And I didn't realize this, but after the first song or second song, Pete Townsend said, welcome to Staples. This is the greatest hits tour.
Yeah.
Which I honest to God, I don't know that I've ever heard of a band doing something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, I know a lot of them do if they don't call it that. They're not calling it a farewell tour,
yeah.
But he said it was the greatest hits tour. And they played most of their greatest hits, not all of them. You know, it was only a 2.5-hour show, but they played most of the big ones.
Right.
And I asked John, and he said, no, he said, I think this is it for them. He said, this is a big tour, and I think this is it for them. So, once again, I get to see another band's last tour.
Now, do you remember what they...
I'm getting old.
Do you remember what they closed with? The last song?
Yes. Yes, I do remember. It's just not coming out.
All right.
Let me in a second. But they played everything. You know, they played everything. My Generation,
yeah.
Bill O'Reilly. They went through the albums. They went through, you know, Who's Next, Tommy, Quadrophenia. You know, they went through all the albums and played, you know, the big hits from each album.
What this does, this sets up, you know, of course, can you believe that there are some kids who've never heard The Who?
Well, that was the big joke last night. You know, walking around Staples Center, people were like, yeah, my sister said to me, who's The Who?
Yeah.
So a lot of people don't, it's a different generation.
Right. Completely. And so they have a whole new audience globally, and that could be, you know, everything. That's great. Good for them.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, it was a great show.
Mm-hmm.
It was a great show. I'm glad. Last time I saw them was Quadrophenia.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been a while, so I'm glad I got to see them. It was only one night, one show. So if you didn't see them last night, you're out of luck. You'll have to travel to go see them.
Right.
You know, if you're not in the LA area. So that was a lot of fun. Anyway, I just heard from our guest, and he was confused. He thought the show was at 9:00.
Okay, fine.
Should I call him? Yeah, well, let's get him on the line. I'll do the intro while you're you want to dial, and I'll go right into the intro. Okay. All right. Our guest this morning is John Fitzgerald, founder and executive director of the South Bay Film and Music Festival. John has over 20 years of experience in the independent film, internet, and film festival community. All right. I'm going to wait until the phone stops ringing here.
Hello, this is John.
Hey, John. Welcome.
We're just going through your introduction here. Okay, so one more time from the top. Our guest this morning is John Fitzgerald, founder and executive director of the South Bay Film and Music Festival. John has over 20 years' experience in the independent film, internet, and film festival communities. As a co-founder of the Slam Dance Film Festival, he led the event for 2 seasons before being named the festival director for the prestigious AFI Film Festival in 1997. Running AFI for 3 years, he created a consulting business guiding the launch of numerous film festivals like in the Bahamas, Lone Star, Orlando, directing several others, Santa Barbara, Topanga, and Abu Dhabi, and consulting to dozens more. In 2012, he authored Filmmaking for Change, Make Films That Transform the World. John currently serves as the executive director of the South Bay Film and Music Festival and is the festival director for the Naples International Film Festival. As a filmmaker with Cause Pictures, John has produced a number of award-winning social impact documentaries, and as a consultant, he has guided many independent film projects through the maze of festivals and hybrid distribution models. So, Joe, this morning we're going to learn about the inaugural South Bay Film and Music Festival, which will take place June 1st through June 5th at various venues throughout the South Bay. Welcome to the program, John. We're so glad you could join us this morning.
Happy to be here.
Thank you so much. Well, I am especially excited to have you on the show, John, because I was a small part, a volunteer for the Hermosa Beach Film Festival in 1997, one of the first festival attempts here in the South Bay, and boy, I had a blast. We had a great run for a few years. And then it kind of morphed into some other things like the Hermosa Beach Shorts Festival. You may have attended some of these events, but tell us, you know, I always say, Hollywood lives in the South Bay. So many artists, you know, craftspeople and all the other professions that go into film live here in the South Bay. Isn't that true?
Yeah, there are a lot of film folks and TV folks, for that matter, in the South Bay, and you know, I think even more important than that is, you know, the truth is Hermosa Beach doesn't have a movie theater.
Right.
So I think, you know, the key piece to start off with for us was, you know, let's bring some movies and some, you know, enhance the arts and culture of Hermosa Beach. But on top of that, you know, there's no Lemley Theater there either. So even if you want to drive into El Segundo or Redondo to see films at the multiplex, they're not showing a lot of art house fare down there. So it seemed like a natural place for a film festival. And yeah, there are a lot of industry folks down there too. So getting them to rally behind it is an easy thing.
Yeah. Cool. Awesome. This is exciting. The first annual South Bay Film and Music Festival. How long have you lived in the South Bay?
Well, to be honest with you, I grew up in the South Bay, grew up in Redondo Beach, and then moved away and went to college in Santa Barbara and then moved down to Venice, and I'm in Venice now.
Yeah.
But I drive down to Hermosa. That's where my office is, so it's not a far drive for me, but I don't live there as we speak.
Okay. But your resume is, I mean, I imagine your resume is among one of the top resumes for the profession of directing festivals, directing film festivals. I mean, AFI, that's got to be one of the top festivals.
Yeah, it's been a fun run.
Yeah.
It certainly wasn't scripted this way, but when I declared my major in film and in college, I kind of thought that I was going to be making movies and producing movies. And it's kind of a funny story how it started on the festival track, which is, you know, ultimately I after working in the business for about 4 or 5 years, decided I wanted to make my own film. And so I did. I raised the funds and shot the movie, and of course, like everybody else, submitted to the Sundance Film Festival, and didn't get in. But rather than just waiting for the next festival, me and a couple other filmmakers decided to start our own festival. So we started the Slamdance Film Festival, and went up to Park City and screened 10 films by first-time directors. And it really caught the attention, I think, of the media and the industry. It was around the time that Sundance was getting a little bit of backlash. Wasn't one of their better years, and there's some political conversations going on about how they were picking films. And I don't want to get into the negative, but ultimately it was a good year for us to start. Let's just say that. And I was thinking I was going to come back to my home and get to work on my next project, and the office was in my kitchen. And so the phone was ringing off the hook from filmmakers kind of asking if we were going to go back.
Yeah.
So what started as a opportunity for us to support more filmmakers in Park City while the entire industry is there, at least, you know, a lot of the independent filmmaking industry, we decided that it was a great time for us to get to go back and meet more people. And so we went back for the second year and invited even more films, had additional screening venues, and were able to really kind of start something strong. I mean, we became kind of a legitimate festival in the second year. And then I did one more year, and then one of my associates from another business had some friends at AFI and knew that they were looking for a new director, and they brought me in, and, you know, a week later I was the festival director for AFI. And so that for me was a great opportunity to come into a bigger canvas and a bigger budget. I could do a lot more, and frankly it was not a difficult thing to really enhance that festival, because it had become kind of a long, I don't even remember, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, showing a lot of foreign films, not very many American films, no awards, not much in the way of sponsorship or kind of branding activations. It just had kind of gotten stale. So for me to come in and roll up my sleeves and get to just bring some, frankly, fairly obvious ideas to the table. That was great. So that's kind of how the festival thing started. And then, you know, I don't want to keep talking about the festivals. We want to zero in on this one. But,
well,
but yeah, it didn't start that way.
No, we like here. What's so interesting, John, is that I remember way back when Sundance started. I remember that very clearly. And it was an alternative because it was the films that were not getting seen. And you know, there was the establishment and then there was Sundance. And it was new and it's exciting and exposing everybody to all this stuff that you wouldn't normally get exposed to. And then eventually they became establishment too.
Right.
So, exactly.
So you had to, you know, create Slam Dance.
Yep,
so it's interesting how eventually once you're doing it for a couple of years, you know, you're no longer on the cutting edge, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, well, what's funny about that is that I don't know if it was year three or year four, but I stayed on the board and I was pretty active, but when I was at AFI, I couldn't really do a whole lot with Slam Dance, but one of those years, there were three or four offshoots, like Slam Dunk and Soul Dance and Lap Dance, and there were literally, I think, at least three or four offshoots that came up within those third or fourth years. And it was, what's crazy about it too is that, you know, you think about it, I didn't, you know, I was a film major, but the first film festival I went to was after I graduated from college. I had heard that there was a festival in, this is before I even knew about Sundance, to be honest. Where was it? Palm Springs.
Mm-hmm.
I went to Palm Springs, which was kind of my home away from home. It was kind of always my little escape. And went down there and saw some films for a few days. And I just thought, wow, what an amazing experience this is. Filmmakers, industry professionals, seeing films you wouldn't otherwise see. And it was just, it was amazing. And so that's what kind of turned me on to the whole festival thing to begin with. And at that time, there were less than, I don't know, 500 or 600 festivals, depending on who you ask. And when Slam Dance started, and I think what happened after that, there were a few articles written about, hey, you know, here's how you start a film festival, because it got so much publicity. And after that, you know, everybody that was interested in film in a community that didn't have a festival seemed to be starting a new festival.
Everybody that made a film that couldn't get picked up by a festival created a festival.
Yeah. So many communities all over the country that, you know, people that weren't from there, didn't even really know existed, were launching their film festivals. So after I'd done a few festivals, I did Santa Barbara as the director for 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of an easy one because I was teaching a film class at the school, and obviously I loved the community. And so when they asked me to do that festival, it was kind of a no-brainer. So I did that for a year as a consultant. And then the lightning bulb went off, and I was thinking, well, there are, you know, whatever, 3,000 or 4,000 independent films made in any given year around that time in kind of the early 2000s, around 2001, I guess, 2002.
Mm-hmm.
What these filmmakers need is a strategy, because they're not all going to get into Sundance.
Right.
But there's a few hundred of these movies that are certainly worthy of film festival play that are never going to find a theatrical release. So they need help with mapping out their strategy. And some filmmakers, we had a filmmaker come out of Slam Dance that decided he was going to take his film and travel the world. And it was a really good film. It was a short film. And he literally played over 80 festivals.
Yeah.
And he just got invited to travel around the world on somebody else's dime. And it was, you know, no kids, no spouse. I mean, it was just easy for him to do. Anyway, so what I decided was, why don't I start a company that can help do film festival and marketing and distribution strategies for filmmakers, because it wasn't really being done.
Hmm.
And I would talk to a filmmaker, and some would say, yeah, I want to travel. And some would say, I need to find the industry festivals. And some would say, well, just want to get exposure tell me where the festivals are that have great audiences. Because frankly, some festivals, you know, may print a decent program, but the films are mediocre and they don't have a marketing budget and nobody comes. So what good does that do you? So I did that for a while, and I did the same thing for film festivals. So kind of, again, by accident, just filling a need in the market, I started a consulting company, and I was doing, if you were a new festival and you typed in film festival consulting, I was the only name that came up. So I did that for probably 5 to 7 years, and that's how I ended up in Abu Dhabi, did a big festival there. I helped start the Bahamas, which I think is just past its 10th year. So, yeah, I had an opportunity to really work with a lot of interesting people and festivals and communities. So, I don't know if there are a lot of film festival directors that have done as many festivals.
Right.
And there's certainly festival directors that have been doing it as long or longer than I have. I mean, people in Europe, you know, people that do Berlin and Cannes. And so, you know.
Well,
necessity, the mother of invention, right?
Mm-hmm. It's fantastic. You've hooked up with the Hermosa Cinema .com, the Cinema Society. Tell us a little bit about the Cinema Society.
Yeah, so when the city first came to me with this idea of bringing some new programming and film programming to the community center there in Hermosa, there were two ideas that were brought up pretty quickly. One was it would be nice to do something on a monthly basis.
Mm-hmm.
I was certainly familiar with a lot of other film societies, cinema society, whatever people call them. There's several different versions. But the idea of bringing independent fare to a theater on a monthly basis, which has clearly worked in the community. I don't know if you all have been to any of his events, but a gentleman named Randy Berler has
South Bay Film Festival, South Bay Film Society. Yes.
Yeah. So he's been very successful, and he's proven there's a need for these kinds of he focuses a lot on foreign films. But I said let's do a monthly screening series, and then kind of have our flagship event be the South Bay Film and Music Festival, because I really thought that it made more sense to use the word South Bay, because it should be a broader event that can attract community from all of the regions, and also, frankly, bring in sponsorship from the other cities, you know, and bring in brands that are based in some of the other communities. I didn't want it to be so limiting. If it said Hermosa Beach on it, then, you know, how is Manhattan Beach going to feel like they had a seat at the table?
Right.
So, that was the impetus for the two different divisions.
John, we here at the South Bay Show get what you're saying.
Yeah. We're the first to encompass the entire South Bay. You know, we always talk about the South Bay as being a bubble, but within that bubble are a bunch of individual bubbles. And and people have a very hard time thinking outside those bubbles. And as I've always said, every city has their particular charms. But individually, there's just not enough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, put it together, it's a powerhouse.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree, and I mean, I'm maybe taking a big leap by saying this, but I really believe that this festival can become a world class event that attracts A-list talent, and by A-list talent in this instance, I mean kind of the top indie films. I don't think that we need to be another AFI or be one of those festivals that is showing a lot of studio movies.
We're in Hollywood. We have that already.
Yeah, exactly.
There's
enough of that. So, but I do think that there's a great attraction of getting folks into the South Bay. Obviously, it's a great community. We do have a number of venues. I mean, there's plenty of festivals that have done non-traditional venues very successfully. I have a master plan to be screening films on the plaza down in Hermosa, like they do in Locarno.
Yeah.
I think that the community is set up to support something like this, and I really believe if we plant our flag right year one that will attract more attention in year two and will bring on more sponsors, and with more sponsors then you can do more. You can provide a richer hospitality program. You can have more reception. There's just a lot more you can do.
Well, John, I want to personally pledge my assistance. I want to be the official talk radio sponsor.
Are you volunteering me again?
John doesn't know. When we did the Hermosa Beach Film Festival in 1997, we thought we were starting something that would last a long time. It didn't work out that way, but that's what we thought. And I've never lost the fire for that. I think, John, what you're doing not only will succeed, but it's going to be glorious.
Well, thank you. I'm excited. I definitely, you know, there are what I call clients that have come and gone over the years where I feel like I've helped them kind of establish what they needed to establish, like create a festival blueprint. Mm. In some cases, I help program. But, you know, this is one that I wasn't just hired to kind of come in and give them a roadmap and then disappear. My intention is to really make this something special for the community. And I think for a lot of reasons, you know, when you do a site visit, you're kind of analyzing what could make sense and what could this look like and how many theaters and how many films and all those kinds of questions.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, bringing in the music element, which I assume we'll talk about in a moment. It just has all the ingredients, you know, to do something really special here. So happy to have you join us, and we'll talk more offline about how to put that in motion.
All right.
Hey, Joe, before we go on to more topics, let's do our station and commercial break.
Sure. Let's do that. This is the South Bay Show, ladies and gentlemen. We encompass the entire bubble, and we know about bubbles within bubbles within bubbles. We're the bubble show. the South Bay Show, and we're talking with John Fitzgerald, founder and executive director of the first annual South Bay Film and Music Festival. It just sounds right. This is something that I believe is going to be here for many, many years and going to bring joy to a lot of people. And it's never going to be an industry event. It's going to be about the filmmakers. We're going to talk more about that specifically and, of course, about the music. If you'd like to join the conversation, we'd love to have you. Please give us a call at 714-242-5288. That's 714-242-5288. We'd love to have your comment or question. And, of course, we'd also like to thank a sponsor. We love sponsors, so we'd like to thank one right now.
This segment of the South Bay Show is brought to you by Your Actualized Visions. A local advertising agency, Your Actualized Visions offers all your advertising needs under one roof. From logo design, business cards, banners, and signage, to online services such as website design, SEO management, promotional videos, reputation management, and loyalty promotions, you name it, and Your Actualized Visions will handle it for you on time and under budget. Built on the needs of their clients, Your Actualized Visions is competitively priced and economical, saving you money and greatly enhancing your bottom line. At Your Actualized Visions, customer service is all local with one point of contact. No more dealing with robo-answering machines, getting the runaround, or speaking to someone in another country. Your Actualized Visions understands your hyper-local advertising needs and focuses on bringing you real clients. They do not buy likes, followers, or fake results. Your campaigns are real, built with real community followers who want to purchase your services and products. The only thing standing in the way of your company's success is you now picking up the phone right now and calling Your Actualized Visions at 310-413-8773. To learn more about what Your Actualized Visions can do for you and your company, visit the website at youractualizedvisions.com. Your Actualized Visions, your dreams today, not someday.
All right. We're back in Sounded like you had a frog in your throat there, Jackie.
Yeah, a little bit. Before we go on to the other aspects, the music aspect, what I love about, John, about what you're doing encompassing the entire South Bay for this film festival is that you mentioned theaters, playing movies in theaters. My mind automatically goes to all the other great venues that could be utilized for this. I mean, the South Bay just has amazing venues, not traditional theaters, just amazing venues that you could branch out into. It brought to mind the El Segundo Art Walk, which they did for the first time last summer, and what they did, very interesting, because there are art walks throughout the world. Santa Fe has a very famous one, Palm Springs, all these, West Palm Beach, all these places. But what they did in El Segundo is they matched artists with local creative businesses. And so one night a month for the summer months, these businesses that are not generally open to the public open their doors and display a particular artist's work. And some of the spaces are amazing. Studios, the Old Town Music Hall, Moto Art. They've got an amazing facility.
I scouted that. I was going to do an event there, and it just, frankly, it was in this first year. It was a bit costly, but I love that venue. I absolutely intend to do an event there.
Oh yeah, Sleepy Hollow Studios, Big Door Studios, South Bay Customs. I mean, there's so many great. Anyway, I was at the kickoff event for that last week. And it brought to mind, what you're doing. And as I said, you're thinking big enough. You're thinking the whole South Bay. But if you think of, doing a movie at the South Coast Botanic Garden, as you said, Pier Plaza, the piers. You can go in so many directions. It's so exciting.
Yeah, well, you're right on the right track. I mean, the truth is, I looked at Sleepy Hollow. I looked at Moto Art as two of the many venues in El Segundo, and both of them were candidates at one point. But the truth is, there just wasn't enough sponsorship to cover the cost to do those particular venues. So we are doing a screening at the Old Town Music Hall. We're showing the 90th anniversary of The General.
Mm-hmm.
So we're showing that, and Buster Keaton's fan club will hopefully join us for that.
Mm-hmm.
But and Bill Field's going to do live accompaniment on the organ.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's cool. But you mentioned the South Coast Botanic Garden. That's a big highlight for us this year. We're going to do the 30th anniversary screening of Stand By Me.
Oh, wow.
Out of the stars on a 40-foot screen. We'll have food trucks. We'll have bars. We'll have live music from 6 to 8 on June 2nd. And then we're going to put the movie on probably around 8:30 because it's got to get a little darker. But, yeah, I'm real excited to do something with them, and I think that'll give us a good example. And they've done it before. I mean, they did. I heard that they showed Frozen last year, so they've showed movies there before. It wasn't a completely original idea. But it is an interesting venue, and I think when you're in a community like the South Bay, anytime you can do something outdoors is always fun.
Right.
That's a beautiful thing. You're doing anniversary showings, 30th anniversary, and of course there must be a lot of places that are doing 30th anniversary screenings, but this one's special. It's in the South Bay. It's special. I mean, the craftspeople that worked on the film, ADs and all kinds of people that worked on the film can actually go and see it in this environment, which is close to their homes.
It's fun. It's fun. And another big anniversary that you've probably heard about that is right now selling the most tickets is the 50th anniversary of Endless Summer.
Yes.
The Endless Summer is, there's a lot of surf culture going on here in the South Bay, and we're going to have Bruce Brown here and give him a special honor and do a tribute to him during the festival. And that takes place on Saturday, June 4th. And that will be probably the big show of the festival.
Right.
Well, John, will you take us through the festival? You know, day one forward. Give us some details.
There's
gala events and stuff.
Yeah. I think the, you know, any decent festival will have an opening night of some sorts, and we're certainly going to come out swinging with our opening night gala. We're going to do what we're calling the Taste of the South Bay. We're doing this on Wednesday, June 1st, again at the Hermosa Community Center. And we're going to have a Taste of the South Bay at 5 o'clock, and we'll have live music and approximately 20 restaurants, give or take, contributing food for this Taste of the South Bay. And then we have some beer and wine sponsors. And I don't know, close to 7, I guess, we'll start filing into the theater there, and we're going to have some live music from one of the musicians that performed on the soundtrack for this amazing movie. It's called Voyagers Without Trace. And it's a pretty incredible movie. It actually just won the Audience Award at the Ashland Film Festival, which is a smaller festival, but it's a very strong festival. It's known for its programming. It sells out most of its shows. It's been going for a few years. So to win an award like that at a festival with that kind of credibility really means a lot. But this is an interesting movie, and I liked it for opening night because it kind of covers a lot of bases. It's an interesting film. It's kind of an adventure movie in a way, and it's, you know, these guys kind of retracing history, going down the Colorado River. But what ultimately happens is this French couple, these newlyweds, come to the States from France, and they want to be the first to kayak. She wants to be the first woman, I believe, to kayak down the Colorado River. And they bring cameras, and they film this adventure. And then what happens is they leave traces of their journey, and then somebody stumbles on it years and years later and decides to kind of go and research what's going on here with this trip, and how does it tie into the history of France. And, you know, of course, it was right around the period of war. So there's a lot of history there. But what's interesting is you've got these couples, you got the original couple, then you've got, you know, their romance, and they're going down this river. And so you've got a little bit of kind of international flair because they're French, and you've got this kind of nostalgic play because there's all this old Super 8 kind of archival black and white footage. They're making a movie, and you've got this documentarian who's making a movie about their trip down the road. It's just a really interesting play in terms of the documentary. So I thought that it was a fun kind of crowd pleaser. It's kind of inspirational in a way. These people tackle this journey, and of course there's a little bit of the, you know, kind of riding the kayak down the river, and, you know, are they gonna tip and all that kind of stuff. So it's beautiful how it's shot. It's a lot of fun. So that's our opening night movie, and it's gonna be neat because the filmmaker will be there. The subjects that ride down the river that are on camera are gonna be there, and the woman who performed on the soundtrack is gonna play some music for us. So it'll be a really unique evening for the community.
Amazing. Wonderful. Sounds fantastic. Wow.
Yeah, it's a good movie.
The beginning of June, I'm not gonna get a lot of work done. I can see that. Oh my gosh. This is fantastic.
And then what are some of the other venues?
So the next day, I mean, that's the only event for opening night. That's, again, Wednesday the 1st at the community center. And if you haven't already said this, I know I was a moment behind here, the website where all this information can be found is southbayfest.com. So all the tickets are on sale. You can review the films, you can see trailers, and then there's buttons to click through to purchase films online. And, of course, there'll be seats available day of for most of these shows. So to circle back to this kind of the slate, if you will, of what films were showing, there's kind of an interesting pair of themes here that kind of tie together often. One is that we're going to do a lot of surf films, as we mentioned, Endless Summer. In addition to the Endless Summer, we're going to have another 8 or 9 movies. So there's a surf film showcase that is listed on the website under the film section there. So the next day we got off the surf film showcase with a few what I call cause-based movies, even though they're surf films. One's called Beyond the Surface, and one's called 12 Miles North. And then it plays with a film called With Love, Iago. These are all short films, but they're in the surf space. But Beyond the Surfer is about an Indian surfer, a girl, a woman. And 12 Miles North is kind of a film about a gentleman who paddles from Santa Monica to Malibu. And it kind of tackles the topic of racism. Because he's black, and there weren't a lot of black surfers back then. So, and with Love, Iago, it's about a guy from Brazil who decides to come to the States where he believes he can be safer and build a life. So they're I'm a big fan of cause based movies and using films to kind of inspire change, and these are films that were packaged together because of the messages in their film. So that's the surf film showcase kicking off, and then of course there's new surf films each day. But then we're also doing narratives and documentaries, and we kick off the Thursday with a month of Sundays. And this is an interesting movie. It's played a few film festivals. It's what I would call a crowd pleaser, and it's got a pretty strong cast, and it's the kind of film that I think will play well in the South Bay. There's a lot of retired folks, as you know, here. And you know, a lot of people will recognize some of the talent in this film. And it's about a guy who gets a phone call from his mother, but his mother's dead, so it can't really be his mother. And I don't want to give anything else away, but it's a really touching story that I think will appeal to broad audiences. Then we're going to show a film called Most Likely to Succeed, which is an amazing documentary about a school in San Diego and their project-based learning philosophies. And I have two kids, and school is a very important thing to us. And, in fact, my daughter is going to be starting school at Vistamar in the fall. So she'll
wow.
be something to do. So this is an important movie. I'm going to try and get as many students there and teachers and make sure that...
Excuse me, I got to jump in here 1 second. Joe, are you getting a breakup on his
there
end?
There is a little breakup on there. I'm not sure how to fix it, though.
Yeah, because are you moving around?
No, I'm sitting in the chair. I could give you a different number. It's entirely possible that the phone is running out of juice, but
uh-huh.
I don't believe
it. It sounds like it's a cordless, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's just running out of juice. Jack,
do you have
my cell phone? If you can call me on that.
Do you want to give it to everyone on the planet?
Or we can give you the call-in number, and you can call us in. You can call into us.
Why don't you call us? Call us at 714-2.
He has to get a pen. We just want. We don't want to miss anything.
Yeah.
714-242-5288. Okay. Great. I will call you right back. I apologize for the.
Okay.
That's okay. No worries.
I'll call you right back.
Good.
All right. Yeah, we want to make sure everybody can hear what he's saying. It was starting to break up enough that I couldn't understand it. So, this sounds exciting.
This sounds like
it's going to be a great event.
It's going to be a great annual event. And looking at SouthBayFest.com, he has brought all his chops, all his experience. And this guy, he's the top of the line when it comes to festival directors.
The wunderkind.
AFI? Come on now. I mean, we're talking, you know, AFI is one of the biggest industry festivals in town.
Yeah.
And all the big studios. John, are you with us?
I'm here.
You sound
okay,
great.
Great. Okay.
John, I was just praising Hermosa. I'm sorry, not Hermosa, but SouthBayFest.com. The website really shows your journey and how you've brought all your chops and all your expertise at film festivals and music festivals. You know, you've got a documentary competition, you've got the shorts program, you've got the big events, Stand By Me and the general showcasing the Old Town Music Festival in El Segundo. That's brilliant because, you know, I can't believe how many people don't actually know that we have a Wurlitzer in the South Bay.
Yeah, exactly.
It's incredible. How many people don't know that?
Yeah.
So
we've been trying
crazy
to tell them for years, Joe.
Yeah, I know. But you have pulled it all together, John, and it is going to be an explosion of interest. People that experience this first year are going to be telling their friends and neighbors for 364 days. And next year's is going to be out of control. In a nice
right.
Donald Trump won't be there. So Donald Trump will not be speaking at this event. So, you know, take that.
Right.
What's next? Now, we wanted to talk about music, so let's make sure we mention all the musicians.
Yeah, so let me tell you a little bit about the music showcases and how this is structured. So basically, the way this is going to go down is we've got four different venues that are going to be performing, or I should say we will have music performers. The first is actually, we mentioned that Botanic Garden. We're going to show two different artists that are there listed, Isla June and Nick Shattuck. Nick Shattuck is actually a South Bay resident, I believe lives in Hermosa. Those two are going to get to perform at the South Bay Botanic Garden on that Thursday at roughly 6 o'clock, and they'll play until 8. So the Botanic Garden is kind of a cool venue because, again, outdoors. The next venue after that is going to be the Lighthouse, which, of course, has a lot of history. So it'll be fun for people to get to come and see some really interesting bands, some new indie rock bands, mostly in an alternative flavor, if you will. And these bands are all listed on the website under Music by Day. So we're doing music at the Botanic Garden, we're doing music at the Lighthouse, and then of course we'll be at St. Rock on Friday for a set in kind of the early evening happy hour period. And then we kind of close off on Saturday night at the Standing Room. And that's going to be a great set, and it's kind of headlined by a local act, Hoist the Colors. So that show's going to get a lot of attention.
The short programs, Shorts 1, From Desperation to Inspiration, Shorts Program 2, Who Are You? And Shorts Program 3, Broken Hearts. I think that's brilliant. I mean, because, short films have a very – one of the beauties about short film is that it has a very strong point of view, and you get it because, you know, it's all right there. Boom. You just got it, a point of view. And I love the way you've arranged that.
Thank you. Yeah, it's fun doing shorts programs. I mean, years ago, people didn't really pay a lot of attention to shorts, but what we found in the last 5 or 10 years is you know, and to some extent, this will be a bit of a learning process because some of the local community members probably haven't experienced short films in a theater before. So there is a bit of an education process going on here, But what I've seen is that the short films actually become kind of part of the favorites for folks that get to come to film festivals, and because you can kind of get them in short little spurts, and it's not like you're sitting through a 90-minute movie, and if for whatever reason it turns out to be a little different than you anticipated, you're kind of invested. Whereas these shorts are like, you know, little bits, you know, whether it's 3 minutes or 15 minutes, they're shorter, shorter pieces of cinema. And I think what's fun for me as a programmer is to be able to watch all the entries and consider the different themes and the characters and try and package them together. A lot of film festivals, you know, back in the day were programming shorts before features. And I think we've seen this trend in short programs going for 10 years or so, you know, pretty strong here in the States anyway. It seems to make the most sense. And sometimes they're just kind of slammed together and here's program one, here's two, here's three, here's four, whatever. But these are specific by theme. So some of the connection points are a little broad, but I think, you know, when you see the write-ups of the films, it kind of all comes together.
So this is there. How many venues are there?
Well, there are three screening venues that we're doing. Two of the screen Theater One and Theater Two are both at the community center, Hermosa Beach.
Hmm.
It's basically where our headquarters is.
Hmm.
So we've got the big theater is a 500-seat theater. The smaller theater is about 100 seats, and that's where most of the action takes place. Now, something we haven't talked about yet that I'll just say a few things about here in a moment is the Clark Building. We're going to be screening films in the evenings. There's that building is filled with light because it's surrounded by windows on all sides. So we're not going to screen a lot of films during the day, but we've got something that I think is really exciting that is kind of us dipping our toes into kind of the intersection of innovation and technology and change, just people doing cool things to make a difference. And so the South Bay Sessions, we're calling them, will take place on Saturday and Sunday in the Clark Building. We're going to create a lounge atmosphere there, and we've got some pretty exciting sessions going on. You can see them on the website, but there's something. I showed a film called Music and called Alive Inside, which is about music and memory, and this is a pretty amazing film about a gentleman who comes up with the idea that if you put headsets on dementia and Alzheimer's patients and they get to hear music from their past, that they literally come alive and they start to be more excited and it just gives them hope and pleasure. And they did an amazing film about this guy called Alive Inside that I played at Hollywood. So one of the folks from that company is going to be here kind of showing how this technology can really make a difference. And then the charity network, Todd Wagner's company, you know, he owns Landmark, and he's, you know, he's Mark Cuban's former partner. And he's got a lot of interesting companies and created some platforms that are really raising a lot of funds for causes. And so they're going to talk about those platforms and how they're connecting to entertainment and celebrities. It's really interesting stuff. And then there's one where Minecraft actually helps kids with math. So there's a lot of different exciting Google Glass. We're talking about how Google Glass can help with Parkinson's. There's a lot of different things happening here that I think the community is going to get excited about. And that's all taking place at the Clark. So those are the three main venues for the festival. And then, of course, there's the music venues that we talked about before.
Right.
In addition to doing the El Segundo general screening and the Botanic, those are kind of the special events. And we'll do a few other kind of selective events. We're talking to the Redondo Beach Library about doing something with kids and music in there. We're doing an event with the Manhattan Beach Arts Center where we're doing a student film competition and giving kids cameras. Nikon's providing cameras, sponsored by Paul's Photo, where the kids are going to get to essentially come in and pick up a camera and get their prop, the rules and regulations, and they'll have 5 days to conceive, shoot, and edit a short film. And then they submit them to us, and then we pick the winner, and it's just showed at the festival at the closing night awards gala.
Wow.
So that's pretty cool.
Now, so this is already in progress, that they've been shooting the films, or when does this begin, that they
start
shooting?
No, they literally kick this off on that Tuesday right before the festival starts. They go into Paul's Photo, they register, they get their gear, and then they start their journey. And then the next day at the Manhattan Beach Arts Center, we're going to have a student film panel discussion where we'll show a couple short films by other students, college students in this case, and have a panel discussion to kind of help with these kids and their emerging, you know, filmmaking. And then they'll get to come to the opening night gala, and then they'll continue their filmmaking and then turn it in on Saturday. So it's 5 days. It's called a Film in Five Drive.
Right. Wow. Okay. Speed filmmaking.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. Do it fast. Success loves speed.
So, John,
tell us,
we're running out of time here. Give us the website information again. Give us an idea of ticket prices and stuff like that.
Sure. So, again, the website is southbayfest.com, and all of the films and the music showcases are listed there. The music showcases are there's no cover charge at the door. You can get a music pass that I believe is $75, and that will give you access to the panel that we're doing on music. It'll give you priority entrance to all the gigs, and you get to see all the films that are music-based, and there's a number of them in the festival, music documentaries and narratives on the subject of music. In terms of the films, most of the films are $14, and the opening night gala and endless summer events are $40. They're higher-end galas that come with food and drink. The closing night gala, which is connected to a dessert reception, is $25, and that is on that Sunday night. All three of those galas are at the community center. The Botanic Garden is Thursday night. That is also a $14 ticket. The trucks, obviously, people can get what they choose. And the Old Town Music Hall general screening is also $14. So I think that covers the bases. The sessions are all complimentary, by the way. It's the first time people will have seen this kind of thing. So we decided we just wanted to make sure people got a chance to see it. We are going to have an RSVP through the same ticketing service so that we have a general sense for who's coming. But, we want people to come and check that out.
Right.
All right. So the sessions are free.
The sessions are free and the panels are free. And I should also say, as you guys know, with your thanking your sponsors, that this is the city of Hermosa Beach and even Manhattan Beach came kind of up at the end here and supported us. But the city of Hermosa Beach was really supportive in helping to launch this thing, gave us some financial support. And, from Robert, the Parks and Recs, and Tom and Mayor Petty, everybody's been extremely supportive. And it really helps for a new festival to have the city support and the Hermosa Arts Foundation as well. Very, very important.
Right. Fantastic. Well, John, you give us great hope and excitement, and we're looking forward to it so much. Everyone, Southbayfest.com.
Starting next Wednesday, June 1, and running through June 5th.
Yeah. Fantastic. Yeah. Well, thank you so much, John. We'll see you soon.
All right. Thanks again. Have a great day.
Thanks, John. And
take care.
Thank you. And
make
thank
sure
you, Jackie.
Come soon.
Oh, yeah, man. We're going to talk.
Yeah.
And
we're going to talk.
You, Jackie.
We're going to see you guys on the blue carpet.
Always a pleasure,
getting a blue carpet.
All right.
Okay. Talk to you soon.
Talk to you soon. Bye. Bye-bye, everybody. Bye.